Hello, Barcelona, and welcome to the new English radio Barcelona Blue on La Marina Cat 102.5 FM. I'm Virgil, still and always, with my partner, Anna Riqua. So how was your holidays?
Well, Happy New Year, Virgil.
Yes,
happy New Year,
still,
everyone.
We can still say.
Yeah.
It's a question of, you know, how long can you keep saying Happy New Year?
Well, you know, the Orthodox Christmas, you know, just passed. So
right.
We're just kind of over that hump of being able to say, okay, back to normal. Thank God. You know, you ask how was Christmas, too long. You know, I think it's too long. I like it. I love Christmas.
Well, you mean the whole process of, you know, of Christmas and then Kings and everything else after that?
You know, you get that long weekend at the beginning of the of December. Then at about the middle of the month, you know, people start, you know, getting into Christmas parties, whatever else. And then, you know, you get Christmas, then you get, you know.
Yes, interminable partying, which becomes depressing after a while.
I don't know if depressing, but I think that everybody needs a bit of structure and routine. Even me, and you know that I'm not the most structured and routined person in the world. I'm pretty chaotic, but I need the routine to be able to survive my chaos.
Right.
There's some logic to that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, while the holidays are usually festive times, for many people they can be situations of depression or loneliness or just questioning, is this all there is? So joining us today to provide some perspective on the scene is a friend, former guest, relationship coach, Charlene Halbert. Thanks for being here, Charlene.
Thank you, Virgil and Anne, for having me. I'm looking forward to diving into this conversation. And yes, Happy New Year to both of you. I think it's not too late to continue to say that. Exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, there's been a recent emergence of various happiness challenges. So can we actually become happy in 7 days or 30 days or when?
I think it depends on your definition of happiness, really, because I kind of went looking around about this, because happiness is, I think, different things to different people, and also there's been a lot of research done on this as well. And so I think I certainly believe, and it seems to bear out with people I've spoken to. I had conversations with friends and my dad, actually, this morning about this this thing about happiness and what it is. And it seems to be that it's moments in time. So striving to be happy makes it sound like it's a state that you get into that is, you know, that you then are happy always or for most of the time. And I don't think that that's really true. And in fact, as human beings, we have hundreds and hundreds of emotions that we can experience at any given time. And so to choose happy as one of them doesn't seem to be very realistic, really.
I agree with that. I think one of the things that I went to in back, there was a psychiatrist that I knew who said, you know, it's okay to experience whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be sad, experience
Absolutely.
Sad, get past it, then move on to the next thing,
yeah.
and not just get stuck in any one thing.
Yeah.
And so the idea of what it takes to be happy, again, as you say, it's transitional.
Yeah. And I think, you know, most of us, you know, certainly when I'm working with clients, for example, often someone will say something like, you know, I've had a terrible week. And then when you drill down to what that is, it's usually just one kind of moment that they've had or one argument or one thing, but it's clouded the entire week. But when you start digging, there's been moments of, oh, that was, you know, had a great moment here and a great moment there. And I think we forget to look for those happy moments. And a friend of mine, Rachel, actually said to me this today that for her, she can be in her deepest woes and find happiness in, you know, watching animals or patting animals. So I think, you know, even in those sort of longer standing experiences of darkness, we can also have moments of happiness, and we just sometimes forget to look for those or to be present
for those. That's true, because again, within any moment or any situation, within that one thing, even though it could be a quote-unquote bad thing, there are moments of humor that you might find in it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of like if you put black into any other kind of bright and happy color, it overshadows it. So I think that's kind of sometimes what happens with bad moments in a good week.
Yes.
That it just like...
It colors everything.
Covers it, veils it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the color black is necessarily so foreboding and bound.
Black
I think
as
the thing
is, symbol.
Yeah, we've taken it and made it a symbol. Well, it really isn't, because I think, you know, black is a very rich color.
Very.
You know, it's all the colors. It's
bright.
So I think again, if we allow ourselves to have a black mood or whatever, I think we're making ourselves feel bad as opposed to feeling good.
Absolutely.
So again.
Well, I think that kind of brings to the point of where your focus is as well, really. You know, again, talking to my dad this morning, I interview my dad every week. We have an hour-long phone call. Yeah, it's really amazing. It was my way of getting to speak to him regularly. And that makes me happy. Actually, right. Said that to me today. Does this make you happy? I said, it certainly does it? And you? And so I've been talking to him regularly and making notes to write a book. But what he said today was that for him, it's moments of being able to do the things that he wants to do. Mm-hmm. It's about doing what he loves, doing what he's passionate about, being in that moment. And I think that's, you know, being present to those things is important.
We'll be back to talk more with our guests right after this.
Se mi guardi con gli occhi dell'amore, non ci lasceremo più. Inganneremo il tempo ed il dolore, sia l'estate che l'inverno. E cambieremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi. E fermeremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi, yeah. Perché non so che dire quando mi guardi così, non riesco mai a finire un discorso senza errori. Perché mi fai impazzire quando mi guardi così, mi sembra di capire che voglio solo te in questo mondo, voglio solo te in questo mondo. Mi cerchi con gli occhi dell'amore, allora sì, mi troverai. Fra le parole semplici ed il sapore di un mattino di primavera. E cambieremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi. E perderemo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi. Perché non so che dire quando mi guardi così, non riesco mai a finire un discorso senza errori. Perché mi fai impazzire quando mi guardi così, amore senza fine. Io voglio solo te in questo mondo, voglio solo te in questo mondo. You make a better day for me. When I look into your eyes, I will feel so good, 'cause you make a better day for me. E fermeremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi, perché non so che dire. Quando mi guardi così, non riesco mai a finire un discorso senza errori. Perché mi fai impazzire quando mi guardi così, amore senza fine. Io voglio solo te in questo mondo, voglio solo te in questo mondo. Se mi cerchi con gli occhi dell'amore, non ci lasceremo più. Inganneremo il tempo ed il dolore, sia l'estate che l'inverno. E cambieremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi. E fermeremo il mondo ogni volta che vuoi, yeah. When I look into your eyes, I will feel so good, 'cause you make a better day for me.
And that was Pino Daniele with Amore Senza Fine, or Love Without End. Now, with the suggestion from that song, does love bring happiness, or do we need to be happy to find love?
I think it's a very interesting question.
I have a few of those.
Yes, you do. You do. You always pull out some good ones. I'm not sure that either is necessarily true, and I'm not sure that love necessarily brings happiness. And again, I think that probably depends on your definition of love, but I think love can open you up to experiences of happiness for sure. I read Brené Brown talks about love as being a deep connection, about growth, about, you know, love is, I also see it sometimes as a choice. So when we talk about romantic love, obviously there's a feeling, and often people think, okay, my relationship's over because I don't have that feeling anymore. But in reality, love in an intimate romantic setting is really a decision that you make on a regular basis, and what you kind of focus on and what you bring and how you grow. And so I think happiness is, you have moments of that, but you know, in love, you can also have moments of sadness and sorrow, and
well, all of those it becomes a matter of. It's, I think what you're saying is that love, if in its ultimate defining moment, is a long-term thing where you continually work on it and you continually enhance it, because as every day you are experiencing it with another person, you're experiencing something new, and then you have to refine it and make it better or change it, whatever, and you have to be able to have a degree of compatibility, I think, with each other to be able to make that kind of transition in life.
Yeah, and there's also just the aspect, and well, it's a bit of what you said too, that obviously the feeling of love for each other is necessary, obviously, if you're going to be in an intimate relationship, but also, you know, love is not only defined by romance and intimate relationships either. And in fact, the study that they did at Harvard, that started 85 years ago. Are you familiar with that study? Have you heard about that?
No.
So there was back in, was it 1950-something or rather, 58, I think they started a study. No, it can't be 1958, 1938. They did a study with 724 participants, and they've continued that study throughout all their lives, plus three more generations from those originally 720 people or whatever it was. And what they discovered was that over all those years of studying those people's lives from basically birth through till death, the one thing that was in common was social relationships and healthy, solid relationships that bring happiness, which is super interesting.
So when you talk about social relationships, are you talking about between the two people or between the whole group of people around them?
Well, strong relationships in general. So any relationship that's strong, so whether that's an intimate one, friendships, colleagues, all of that, because actually even intimate relationships include people outside of the relationship as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think, you know, I, after Christmas, reflecting upon, you know, being at Christmas, I think you get into sort of a nuclear group, at least when you have a family like mine. And you don't get out as like see as many people, see your friends, whatever. And one of the things that I think is so important in a new year is to verbalize to the people who you have strong relationships with and who you care about, to say, my relationship with you is important to me, and I hope to spend some really nice moments with you in the coming year.
Well, I think that's why, you know, I have my annual party, where I bring everybody together, and we enjoy each other and celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and Saints' Day and all the rest of it. And then it's great, because I think for me, at least, it brings a lot of different people from my different circles coming together. And then we settle down at the end of the night to the hardcore folks.
Absolutely.
The ones that you really love.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or not.
Well, at least
by the look on your face, and perhaps it's just the ones that you drink heavily.
At least this is what she's thinking about. There are at least two that would qualify for that category.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Funny. It's very beautiful. Funny.
But you know, I think that when we're talking about, you know, finding you know, love, and I think there's a huge difference between being in love and love. And, you know, people who aren't happy in their relationships, very often it's because they're looking for that in love feeling.
Yeah.
And they can't find it. Mm. And I always think, you know, if we really were constantly in love, in that state, we'd kill each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would just be, you wouldn't be able to survive that amount and that extent of emotion.
Yes.
So I think as, you know, relationships get deeper, the love, the friendships, and also the relationship with children. Mm. And as that love develops into something that is maybe a little more critical, mm-hmm, from the children's side, and that makes the love grow.
Hmm. Well, it's also that from the children's side, you have an investment of sorts, because first off, you made the investment of having the children, then the investment of raising them properly, and then being able to watch them as they develop as people, and hopefully toward being the kind of person that you would like them to be. And that brings along a lot of expectations, which often doesn't relate to the same reality. So I think from that standpoint, that love becomes maybe not so much love as a sense of mission, that this is something I have to do, that I have to be good at. Whereas the concept of just being together with a person, it's not so much that you have to be good at it, you have to be able to be someone that you enjoy being with, that you want to be able to, right, make them as happy as possible because they're going to make you as happy as possible. It's a matter of creating an environment for the two of you to really express your feelings for each other.
Yeah. I think I look at it reversed. I saw it more of as a mission at the beginning.
Right.
Like like when I was more helping to form their person. But now it's more
Now they're
discovering reality about each other.
Because they're their own people now. I mean, they've gotten to the point where they're not kids anymore. You know, you don't really have to watch them as much.
Every once in a while you can throw a, you know, a whack. You know, it's like, really? But they do the same with me. So that's...
Yeah, and I think that's what you're speaking to, Anne. I love because love is not... is a mixture of things, and you can love somebody and still be annoyed by them. You can love somebody and still be frustrated. And I think, you know, bringing expectations into it is less about love and more about, you know, the concern that you have for your children perhaps and how they turn out. But I'm not sure. I don't have children of my own, so I can only guess at this, and I've worked with lots of parents and things, and certainly love is that underlying thing that you have no matter what, and I think that exists whether you're annoyed with them or not. Would you agree with that? Is that
I would agree, and I think that you have to I think that feeling love for a child, another person, or anyone, you have to get to that deeper level and being willing to make that commitment to accepting being annoyed.
Absolutely.
Because
yes,
if you can't accept being annoyed by someone and still love that person, then you really don't, in my opinion, you really don't love them.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because you haven't accepted kind of the difficult parts of that person as well.
Hmm. That's true. You know? Because again, you have to be able to go through the bump and run. In many cases of a relationship, you know, you're not always going to be in love with that person. You're not going to always be happy with that person. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the important thing, to be able to express those feelings of upset and anger, and then be able to work it out. And I think the whole thing that from my own experience, is that you never go to bed, you know, angry with the other person.
Yeah, I heard something recently that counteracted that, because that's what I've always thought and understood too, and I heard someone say no, that's absolutely appropriate, because sometimes you need to process things before you're ready to talk about it, and better to
you don't have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You just have to be able to put the anger on the side,
right,
for that moment, and not carry it with you. Yes, we won't talk about, you know,
that's another whole topic. I'll see you in three weeks.
Okay. But we'll talk more with our guest right after this.
Never as good.
And that was Sade with Never As Good As The First Time. Now, some of the challenges that I've seen emphasize the physical aspects of happiness, such as socializing, sleeping, eating well, etc. Do you agree with that premise, or are there more things that are needed?
I think, I guess those things are certainly important, but I think the biggest thing that Dale Carnegie said, it's not what you do, it's not what you have, it's not, you know, who you are that makes you happy or unhappy, it's what you're thinking about. And I think sometimes we get caught up in trying to do all these different things to make ourselves happy, but in fact, another quote that I love is actually about happiness being like a butterfly, that when you try to chase happiness, it eludes you. But when you stop and focus it on other things, then it sits on your shoulder. And I think that's true of happiness in this case as well. So, you know, happiness being momentary, we can find happiness in anything. Again, going back to my father, forgive me. but, you know, the conversation he had something cut off his leg recently, and he had this massive big cut and okay. stitches, and he said to me today, you know, for example, I cut my leg and I was, you know, I was still happy. You know, I found yeah. things to be happy about. So yes, all of those things are important, but I think really happiness is about where we put our focus. When you're in the present moment, watching the sunrise as I was this morning, whether that's happiness or joy, I'm not sure, because I know those are considered two different emotions, but you know, watching animals play or patting a dog or whatever mm-hmm. that is, eating ice cream.
I think the whole thing is that too often we look at trying to make something big because we think, or if yeah. it's not big, then it's not really important.
It's so true.
And then so it's the idea thing, already you got to have this big thing out here yes. to be out here. And it's not true. I think, you know, the butterfly illusion you made was great, because back in New York at the Bronx Zoo, they have a butterfly exhibit. Mm-hmm. And the butterflies are flying all over. And the trick is, you know, can you just stand there and be centered? And the butterflies come to you.
Exactly.
And just light on you. And it's like, you know, a magical, nice. Magical moment when you say, all right, I'm in touch with the universe now. I'm not trying to get anything. It's the good feeling is coming to me.
That's right. It's kind of like, you know, opening yourself up to it. And I think that's, while we're trying to do and make something happen, we're missing that powerful opportunity. And, you know, as I said before, I believe moments of happiness are transitory. It's not a defined state per se. And so, yeah, and so I think I would add to that list something like breathing and meditation and connecting with yourself, connecting with nature, connecting with others.
Yeah.
Is a beautiful way to experience those moments.
I think sometimes you just have to sometimes tell your inner voice to shut up too. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I would agree. It gets in the way of many things.
Your inner voice and your outer voice sometimes as well too.
Both.
Yes.
Both. Yeah, indeed. Especially if the outer voice is expressing the inner voice even worse.
Well, sometimes though that the outer voice is expressing what we think we ought to be saying, or very what true. We think people should want to hear from us.
Very true.
And we get hung up on that reality of saying really what is it truly about. Yeah, but it seems though that, you know, before we can change something, we need to understand where we are on the happiness curve. Mm. You know, so the question is, you know, how do we take stock of our condition, our feelings and needs? I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I look at my happiness very simply in some ways, that, you know, I have a great place to live. I've got I got food on the table. I enjoy my friends. I enjoy my life. I don't need, you know, a whole lot of stuff else, you know, that I'm very comfortable with what's around me. So I think for me, you know, it's a question of, you know, how do you add on to that? It's, you know, adding more of the things that are good, adding, you know, more friends, adding more experiences.
I think a big thing, you know, looking at those aspects that you're talking about, which are, you know, very complete and you've created, and also, I mean, a lot of us have created in our lives. I think one of the big things is keeping the drama out. Mm. You know, if you add something into your life, don't take on drama. Mm. You know, where it's just,
right.
It makes everything else difficult. So.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I also think some of the things that you were saying, Virgil, also reminds me of something that I read about happiness. Sometimes trying to be happy, we do stuff that is actually getting in the way of gratitude and joy, which is another. So, you know, for example, I'm happy when I'm, you know, staying at home, sitting on the sofa. But in reality, what makes long-term happiness or joy is being out socializing with people or being grateful about something. If I'm seeking happiness in the moment for its own sake, you know, doing, I don't know, doing drugs or whatever it is that you, I mean, there are all sorts of ways that people can describe what makes them feel happy, that can get in the way of those deeper experiences. And you know, what I hear you say now is about being grateful for what you have, which is then a different emotion, which can allow for happiness to show up also, I think.
I personally, and would appreciate your opinion, I don't think that happiness is really possible without gratitude.
Interesting.
If you look around you and you're grateful for what you have, or grateful for a person, or grateful for being healthy, or grateful for this, I think it puts you in a place where of acceptance, not in a negative way, and of saying, you know, I'm grateful for where I am right now, rather than saying, why should I say thank you for all this? It doesn't matter.
Right.
So I think gratitude makes happiness sustainable.
Well, I think the whole thing, maybe not gratitude, but the acceptance of where you are in life and the things that are happening to you and the things that you have in life. I think being able to accept those things and not necessarily crave more.
Yeah, I think turning it around to and saying maybe there are things that you can't accept. You know, that you're upset, angry about, that, you know, you wish it had been a different way. I think that creates the unhappiness.
Certainly. Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely, because and that's why I love what you said about gratitude. Because I think, well, and gratitude for me is about what I said before too, being in the moment. Like, you can't be grateful for something if you're thinking, worrying about the future or regretting the past. Gratitude actually only lives in the present moment. So I can see very much why that goes hand in hand. I would agree totally.
Otherwise, you can't be present. I mean, it's...
Right.
No, that's right. Indeed.
Yeah. Present is something that's necessary. We'll be back with Charlene for some closing comments right after this. ¶¶ And that was Swing Vals with Baptiste Hervin. So, Charlene, relationships are your core work area. That's what you do. Now, is happiness something that you try to make part of the relationships dynamic?
Not as an end goal, no. And I would say there's several reasons for that. One is because I've discovered that most people, especially when they get into trouble in their relationships, they don't dream very big. So I had one woman, I used to talk about, you know, finding more happiness in your relationship. And this one woman said to me once, "Charlene, I don't want to be happy. I just want to stop arguing all the time." And I was a little bit like, whoa, taken aback. But I think, you know, talking about happiness before people are ready, sometimes depending on where people are at in their relationship. So, but happiness is certainly or those positive experiences and experiencing love. And again, I guess, you know, we've been talking about, there's a lot of these emotions that kind of overlap in a way. We all have different ways of describing things. We use words perhaps that are not specific to one particular emotion. But I would say, you know, in working with couples, what I support them in doing is adding things in, like you said earlier, you know, adding in things that help them remember the times when they were happy or when they did love each other, or remembering or building moments in where they can start to appreciate each other when things are difficult, and seeing different perspectives of each other. And in that process, happiness and joy shows up. Like it's like creating the opportunity for happiness to show up. So whilst it's not, you know, my end goal, because, you know, happiness comes and goes, but it certainly is setting the stage to allow more of that to exist, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that is determining, where did you start from? Why did you get together? And I think in many cases, I won't say that, that's a generalization, people don't always get together based upon their own needs or what they perceive the needs of them being together should be. You get together because your parents think it's a good idea, the two of you get together, you make a cute couple. Your friends, you know, think that, you know, you're fantastic together. But again, it's a case of, you know, do you ever really sit back and say, all right, why did we get together? What was the attraction? What was the thing that made it interesting that I wanted to be in love or in like or in life with this person?
Absolutely. And a lot of the work is getting people to remember, because often it's curious, actually, that question, because very often people, depending on who the person is and what their experience has been of the relationship at in this present moment, they often have a very different view looking back to what was actually happening. But it's an important part of any journey to healing a relationship or improving it, is to be able to find those moments of what was there, and how can you, what was happening at that time. You know, sometimes it's not even what's happening inside the couple in that moment. For example, it might be that you had a great group of friends and you both loved being with that group of friends, and now you don't have those friends anymore. And so sometimes, you know, we make the mistake of thinking relationships are just about, you know, you and I, and we have to fix this thing. But sometimes it's actually, no, when I'm happier at work, it makes me a better partner. Or when we've, you know, when we're mixing with friends, then we're happier together. And so finding what those things are is super important. And going back to the beginning is a great way to do that for most people.
It's like, you know, when people go through divorces, friends are stuck with a conundrum. Right, which which one do I
absolutely
stay with after this one? Even without divorce, I mean, there was a relationship that I had lasted quite a long time. And when we ultimately broke up, her friends, who had been, you know, our friends, you know, split.
Yes.
There were some friends, you know, I never talked to. There are some friends that, you know, are still very close to me. So it's a case where I think, you know, you start looking at it, and it becomes a way of analyzing who you are. In some ways, you know, what was it that made them want to stay my friend, you know, versus not? And what is it that I projected and I gave them as friends that they, you know, found attractive and all the rest of it? So I think we start looking at relationships. You know, we aren't in a vacuum.
No.
Because I think, you know, there is, you know, me and her and us. And I think the thing is, you know, how do we create us that becomes a an entity unto itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, again, remembering that even within that, where we are, we're not only in an us either, you know, and I that's...
There's always the background noise. Mm. In each person's background noise.
Yeah.
And what they bring with them.
That's right.
And how they react. Patterns of reaction to certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I think... sometimes you can find happiness by looking at the patterns of your reactions, how you react to things. Whether you just say, that really doesn't matter. It really isn't that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Yes.
Right. As opposed to, let's go to war over this thing. You know.
Right. As opposed to, let's make a mountain out of a molehill.
Right, exactly.
And needing to be right all the time is another one. There's no happiness in that ultimately, and there's no us in needing to be right about everything. And that's some similar thing to what you're gonna, what you're willing to let go of.
I mean, it's such a complex topic, actually.
Yes,
actually, because super complex. If you think about it, you've also got, you know, influences, and that's for a whole another show, like beliefs and value systems and religion.
Absolutely. Culture.
I mean, think about how many things with culture, religion, those sort of like rigid pillars, how much unhappiness that can cause. Well,
today, we've gone to war over those things.
Absolutely.
And we're waging war because of that. So it's a case of, and again, you said, think about it, you know, is this really worth going to war over?
Well, that's part of it, is understanding some of that too, because not only do we have cultures like the culture that we grew up in, but families have their own culture as well. Absolutely. And a lot of us, you know, this is some of the work that I do with my clients as well, is having to look at what are all those influences that we have that form our values and our beliefs, and start to, you know, understand each other from a different perspective. That's my biggest thing, is about the perspectives that we hold.
Right.
And so often, people don't even realize that, like, they might have some cultural differences, but they don't see that as being something that needs to be seen in a different way, ironed out in order to be able to have that relationship work. And it's very powerful. There's a lot of that. It absolutely influences everything about any relationship, friendships.
It's really a very complex issue, rather than just saying, you know, happiness, love.
Yes.
Well, peace,
love, and Bobby Sherman.
Remember the movie Love Story?
Yeah.
Love is never having to say you're sorry.
Yes.
that was just like such a crock.
Really?
I just have to say at this point, it was one of my favorite movies of all time. And I also reread that recently. I was like, what?
It's like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Biggest thing is to be able to apologize.
I think love is actually the big thing, is being able to say you're sorry.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, that's the whole thing. You got to put your ego aside. And be able to say, you know, yeah, I was dumb, I was stupid, you know, let me go back and say, you know, hey, I'm sorry, you know, and I was talking through my butt, you know, at that point. So I think it's important, but again, it's also tough to do, because you have to be able to be so secure in yourself where you don't feel that I'm being weak by saying I'm sorry, or by accommodating, and being able to say, right, well, what does she really want? You know, what should I be giving her? As opposed to, what do I need to give for myself? What do I need to hold on to? And I think that's the whole thing there, is that the more you give, the more it comes back to you ultimately.
Sometimes. I'm not sure that's always true. I wouldn't say that's always true at all. But what I love is the idea of the relationship, because very often, you know, you said there's a me and a you and an us. And very often the us is the thing that when you're meeting the needs of the us, ironically, individual needs get met. But, you know, when you have, you know, I'm going to make sure you have everything, or I'm going to make sure I have everything I want and need, then that's when relationships fall apart, because it has to be about the relationship at the end of the day, that you're building what's important in the relationship right now. So right now what the relationship needs is, you know, a bit of peace and calm, or the relationship needs me to show up a little more, or for me to be a little less right, or for me to be more loving, or for me. So when you look at it like that, it becomes less about what am I getting or what am I missing out on. And because when you actually, for example, when you give more love to the relationship, you feel more love very often. Right. But if it's about I'm going to give you all my love and you don't give anything back, now I feel like I don't, you know, I'm You're not right. loved. So I think, you know, for me, that third party, that third piece is really important and often missing in people's experience of a relationship.
So in your mind, and I guess Miss Anne, I ask you the same question. If we, we've been talking about happiness, what is happiness in, say, an elevator pitch of, you know, 1 minute or less?
And I'm going to let you go first.
You know, I'm real big on first thoughts, like the first thought that comes to my head. And for me, happiness is balance.
Balance.
Is finding a balance, not necessarily, I think equilibrium is something different than balance. But that you feel really strong and like with strong roots in the situation that you're in, and feel balanced, whether in your relationships, in your friendships, in your activities, in your work. For me, balance brings happiness. If something gets out of balance.
All right, but now does balance, in your definition, imply that, you know, there is a balance between the two parties, that you're both are giving equally and sharing equally?
Not necessarily equally, because balance, you know, if you look at the, like when you balance, there's a bubble that goes back and forth. But I think you have to find a certain give and take in the different relationships to give you happiness.
Interesting. I hear lots of couples say, you know, when I'm working with couples, and this is not to be in any way saying one more than the other, but commonly men in relationships will often say to me, even though the relationships, like the woman might be saying, I think I want to leave the relationship, and the man says, I'm happy.
He's happy that she's leaving? Or
No.
He says, I'm good.
It's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong here. I remember an ex-partner of mine once saying to me, there's nothing wrong with this relationship, Charlene. You're the one with the problem. I was like, well, that's an interesting. At the time, I was like, what? Actually, you know, there's a certain perspective to that. But I think, I don't know, I think happiness is, again, you know, I've heard this saying, you're as happy as you decide to be. And I think that's possibly what explains what I just described. And I think, you know, it's that thing of where you put your thoughts, what you decide on, and being, you know, when you say balance and kind of and you said groundedness, I think, as well.
Yeah, being grounded.
I think really for me that is it. I think being in the moment and being present in your relationship, in your moments with each other, in your moments with yourself.
In your decisions.
In the decisions that you make.
Definitely.
I think happiness lies in being open to what you allow in, like in your heart, in your head, in a way. So I think it's a decision. I think it's a decision that you make fundamentally. And again, then where you put your thoughts and how you open up to allowing it in, like that butterfly. That's what I would think. What about
kind of
you?
Like that. For me, I'm easy.
You're just happy with anything, is that right?
Happiness is firehouse chili and the Super Bowl.
We haven't done that in a long time.
No.
That used to be one of our things to do, is get together for the Super Bowl, and I'd make chili. Yes.
Oh, lovely.
And then she'd fall
asleep.
And
I'd fall asleep.
In the middle of the game, right? So
that was happiness right there. That was happiness. A full tummy.
It was.
And then wake up and go, really?
Is that what happened?
There was one game that we woke up, you know, she woke up hollering and screaming, and it's like, they did that? How the hell did they do that? I mean, it's like, you know. So, no, but again, it's little moments. And I think with me, it's, again, It doesn't have to be big.
No.
No.
It does in not fact, have it's to a mistake big. To think that it needs to be big.
Because the thing is, I think the little things become big.
They do. Absolutely, I agree.
The whole thing is that, like with me, I always brought flowers home. Mm. I was one of the things. I always had a date night mm-hmm. where we'd go out, and it was always going to be our night. You know, it was always going to be, without compromise or exception. Mm-hmm. I was always, aware of her little things. Like I knew the things, that were important to her, and the things that were little things, but really were important. So I think those little things do add up to become something big and become important in a relationship.
I totally agree, and that when things are not going well, it doesn't mean that, I think a lot of people don't look to dealing with their relationships because it feels so big, and the reality is it often isn't big. It's the small things that add up. It's those small moments, but it does require a willingness. And my dad actually said to me today something about that his relationship with my mother, who passed away quite a few years ago, was very much one of happy moments, sad moments, difficult moments, frustrating moments. And he said, there were times when they were not happy, but he said, I always wanted her to be happy, but I would never expect it that she would always be that way.
Right.
But that's what he wanted for her. And I think that's having the desire for your partner's happiness is and a willingness to do what it takes to understand what that means for them.
Yeah. And paying attention.
And paying attention, which is absolutely essential for both people.
That's bidi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, as ever, you've been a great guest.
Thank you very much.
And glad that you are here with us today and helping us to open our eyes about things with life. So we're going to leave you today with a song from Joe Sample and Lala Hathaway. It should kind of lighten your day and bring maybe a little happiness. It's called One Day I'll Fly Away. From Ann and I, have a great one, Barcelona. We'll talk to you next week. Leave your love to yesterday.